Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. On a Windy Night by Nancy Rains Day, is illustrated by George Bates. This is a picture book that's got some really cool drawings in it. On the first page, the page is almost all purple and a little bit of orange, and there are clouds in the sky, but the clouds look like a shark and an elephant and a snail, a locomotive, a dinosaur, Superman, and a unicorn. They're all funny shapes. And down on the road, we see a little boy walking. He's got on a suit that makes him look like a skeleton, and he's carrying a big round orange bag. I think this is a Halloween story. On a windy night, on a winding road, a boy walks home with a heavy load. On this winding road, on this windy night, clouds hide the moon, and in creeps fright. Now the boy's walking up through the forest. There's a cat following him, and the clouds are still all kinds of bizarre shapes. One of them looks like a sea dragon, and the other one looks like a great big hand coming down from the sky. Through dark woods and down a hill, the boy walks fast and faster still. What's that? His heart flip-flops with fear. A whisper rustles in his ear. He's looking up into a tree, and some of the branches in the tree look like an owl. It's not a real owl. It just looks like the shape of one. Crackety clack, bones in a sack. They could be yours if you look back. The boy squeaks, "Who? Do you mean me? Who else?" Owl hoots back from his tree. Now there is a real owl in the tree. And there's also a cloud up in the sky that looks like a giant owl. The wind blows leaves that brush his face. The panicked boy begins to race. But even though he holds his ears, it's louder now, the voice he hears. And the wind has taken all of the orange and red and brown leaves and made them into a shape like a great big weird monster that's behind him. The little boy and the cat are running as fast as they can through the woods. Crackledy-clack, bones in a sack. They could be yours if you look back. Oh, now we see the boy up close, and he is looking very frightened. The clouds in the sky are rolling around. The trees even look like they have faces on them. And the cat is hiding behind the pumpkin-shaped bag. He leaves the spooky woods behind, but in the field, what does he find? Real skeletons! They dance in rows, clacking knees and crackling toes. Rough fingers whip his hands and cheek. He runs, but hears an awful shriek. And you see six skeletons moving around out in the field besides the woods. Crackledy-clack, bones in a sack, they could be yours if you look back. And now the boy is running really fast. His mouth is open wide, and his bag is almost falling out of his hands. The boy runs blindly, fast seems slow. Then suddenly he stubs his toe. He reaches out and feels a head. It doesn't move. It must be dead. The boy's feet barely touch the ground. Again it comes, that deafening sound. Guess what he's running through? A pumpkin patch. He's bumped his foot on a pumpkin. Crackledy-clack, bones in a sack. They could be yours if you look back. He's running faster and faster. Now, when he looks back, the trees and the bushes on the ground have made the outline of a shape of a huge pumpkin. He runs so fast. He's breathing hard. He's almost there. He's in the yard. A shadow rubs against his legs. "Don't hurt me, please," the scared boy begs. And you can see a big shadow on the ground, and the boy is running away. The hairy beast sits on his shoe, and then it makes a meek meow. It was his cat that was chasing him through the woods and he didn't realize it. When the clouds roll by, a full moon shines bright. The boy looks back and laughs outright. Now dry corn stalks dance where the bones had been. The head's a pumpkin once again. So the boy scoops up his purring cat. They both go home. And that is that. Until they hear a crackledy clack. And now the picture shows that they're in the house. And a little mouse has gotten into the treat bag and is eating the candy. That's what's making the crackledy clack. Halloween Night by Arden Druce, illustrated by David T. Wenzel. There's a great, big, beautiful picture with blue skies and leaves on the sidewalk. There's a fence, and along the fence we see all kinds of strange-shaped shadows. The shadows are of the children that are out trick-or-treating. One of them is dressed as a ghost. Another one looks like a princess. There's one who's a Dracula. There's some that look like animals, rabbits, and that sort of thing. And they all have their little containers that look like pumpkins that they're going to put the candy in. Up in the sky, far away, we can see a little witch on a broom flying. The trees don't have many leaves left on them. On Halloween night, when it's dark and scary, who can swoop through the air with a swish and a flurry?
I can, said the witch.
Now we see a haunted house, and she's flying over the house. In a haunted house surrounded by mist, who can spin shimmering webs with a swirl and a twist?
I can, said the spider.
Now we see the front steps of the haunted house. There's some dead leaves on the steps, and some more leaves are floating through the air. And on the banister of the porch is a pumpkin. On a darkened porch, when the moon is low, who can light a smile with a shine and a glow?
I can,
said the jack-o'-lantern. And he's got a great big grin on his pumpkin face with a candle inside of it. Now we can see the front door of the haunted house. The windows that are in the door have been cracked, and the curtains are blowing out of the windows. And there are more leaves floating about. With an eerie light and a shape like a lump, who can walk through closed doors with a thud and a bump?
I can, said the ghost.
She's a girl ghost, and she's floating through the inside of the house in a library that has lots of shelves of books, and old clocks are on the shelves. And this ghost has a beautiful long dress, so she's from an old time, and she's carrying a candle. In a field of corn, when breezes mutter, who can stir in the wind with a flap and a flutter? We're out in the cornfield with...
I can,
said the scarecrow. The scarecrow has on blue jeans that are all patched with different colored material. He has on a blue plaid shirt and a big baggy jacket over it. And his face has a carrot sticking out of it. Somebody has sewn a mouth on him and eyes. He's got a hat with straw sticking out as if he had hair coming out from under the hat. And there's a big twisted tree behind him, behind the cornfield. In a twisted tree that's drenched in dew, who can glide from a branch with a hoot and a hoo?
I can, said the owl.
With a skull and some bones and no other matter, who can dance in the wind with a clink and a clatter? And we see the owl sitting in this crooked tree, and behind him is a graveyard. It's very dark and cloudy in the graveyard.
I can, said the skeleton, with a clink and a clatter.
Hanging upside down in a tree while napping, who can soar through the air by fluttering and flapping? The tree has
three things that almost look like cocoons hanging upside down from the branches. But there are little feet coming out from these cocoons. Let's see what happens when they open up. I can, said the bat. That's what they were, bats hanging on the tree. Hunched on a fence, howling sounds you can't miss, who can wake everyone with a screech and a hiss. There's a fence that's falling down, and sleeping on it is a black cat. I can, said the cat. All in their costumes, ready for fun, who can frighten everyone? Now we see the house, and it doesn't look so haunted. And on the porch, there are a bunch of jack-o'-lanterns all lit up, and the porch light is on. And here come, oh, it's the children from the first page. The rabbit and the ghost and the princess and Dracula. We can, said the children. And their faces are happy, and they're surprising the person that answers the door for Halloween. The end. Queen of Halloween by Mary Engelbrecht. Now, Mary Engelbrecht is a woman who draws some really fascinating pictures. On the front of her book is a little girl in a yellow dress with white beads around her neck and white beads on a bracelet, and another part of her bracelet has a gold star on it. She's holding a trick-or-treat bag. Oh my goodness, it has a chocolate bar and candy corn and apples that are dipped in caramel and all kinds of lollipops in it. And behind her are pumpkins in the field. She's holding a wand with a gold star on it. Anne Estelle had the perfect Halloween costume. A long lacy skirt, a bright shiny wand, and a pair of glittery wings. And a crown, of course. She was the fairy queen. Her friend Michael was a pirate. He had a sword, an eye patch, and big black boots.
Yo-ho-ho, said Michael.
Tra-la-la, said Anne Estelle. Trick or treat!
And we see both of them in their costumes. The pirate even has a spider that's hanging from his scarf on his head. And there's a cat in the picture that they've dressed up to look like a lion.
We don't need a grown-up, said Michael. We're old enough to go out trick-or-treating alone.
Anne Estelle wasn't sure about that. The night looked very dark, but she didn't want Michael to think she was scared. We see Michael and Anne Estelle standing inside the house with the door open, and they're looking outside, and the sky is getting dark. In the house, there are all kinds of decorations. On the table is a tablecloth that's orange, and it has black bats and pumpkins on it. And on top of the table is a basket with lots of treats loaded up. There's a little paper ghost hanging from a strand of ribbons and crepe paper on the ceiling. And there's that funny little spider again.
Well, you might not need a grown-up, but I need some kids, said Anne Estelle's father. Let's go before all the candy's gone.
Now we can see the three of them, the dad, and Anne Estelle and Michael, all coming out the front door. There are all kinds of funny-shaped and decorated pumpkins on the porch. They start down the sidewalk. The little pet still has a ruffle on it that makes it look like a lion. And there are other kids joining them on the street. Here's a little girl that's dressed like a pumpkin. And there's a boy who's a skeleton. There's some kids that are dressed like robots and a little witch, and a kid who's under a sheet that's trying to look like a ghost.
Aunt Estelle had been right. The night was dark. Even the streetlights didn't seem very bright. There were ghosts and witches running everywhere. "Don't be scared," said Aunt Estelle's father, and he squeezed her hand tight. "It's just pretend." Now we see Aunt Estelle holding her dad's hand, and she's smiling and looking up at him. And Michael is waving his little toy sword around.
"I know," said Aunt Estelle, but she squeezed her dad's hand back.
"Pirates are brave," said Michael.
"Queens are brave, too," said Aunt Estelle.
And now she's standing with one hand on her hip, and she's got her other hand out with the wand in it, like she's pointing a sword, as if she's going to be in a sword fight. They got chocolate bars from a witch. They got lollipops from a spooky mummy. They got apples from Mrs. McGilligan, Aunt Estelle's teacher.
"These are good for your teeth," she said.
Their bags got heavier and heavier. And now we see both of their bags. Oh, there are popcorn balls and rolls of candy and lollipops and apples in the bags. And there's even some candy that's fallen out of the bags onto the sidewalk.
"It's late," said Aunt Estelle's father. "Time to head home."
"One more house," said Aunt Estelle. "And can we go alone?" said Michael. "We're old enough."
You can see the children trying to get the dad to agree to this. They're all standing on the sidewalk chatting.
"All right," said Aunt Estelle's father. "I'll wait for you on the sidewalk. Just go up and ring the bell."
The children go up another sidewalk on the other side of a fence, and the dad stands outside the fence watching them go up.
Oh, it looks like a long, long sidewalk,
and at the end of it is an old, old house. There's some bats flying around the house, and in the trees, somebody has hung little paper ghosts that are blowing in the wind.
The house was big and old. The wind blew in the bushes as Aunt Estelle and Michael came up the sidewalk. The closer they got, the scarier the house looked.
They could hear a dog barking nearby. Aunt Estelle didn't like big dogs. She wanted to look back at her dad, but then Michael would know she was scared. The porch steps creaked. The dog barked again.
"I don't think anybody's home," Michael whispered. "Let's go back."
Aunt Estelle looked at Michael. His voice sounded shaky. The eye that wasn't covered by the patch was very wide. Aunt Estelle realized something.
Michael was afraid.
The picture shows her looking at him up close as they stand outside the house with decorations in the window. One of the windows has a skeleton hanging in it, and the pumpkin on the porch railing is spooky looking.
Somehow that made Aunt Estelle feel braver. "Let's ring the bell," she said.
"But there's a dog," said Michael.
"It's in the backyard," said Aunt Estelle. "It won't hurt us."
She pushed the doorbell with her finger. Nobody came.
"See, somebody's home," said Michael.
But then the door creaked open a little crack. The two children are peeking around the doorway, looking through to see what's inside.
"Trick or treat," said Aunt Estelle.
She poked Michael.
"Trick or treat," he said.
They're both holding their bags out.
"You're my last trick or treaters," said the white-haired woman who opened the door. "So you might as well take all the candy."
And here is a picture of a beautiful grandma. She has white hair, and her earrings are little jack-o'-lanterns, and she has on a necklace that's a jack-o'-lantern. She's wearing a pink sweater and a plaid skirt, and there's a funny little dog jumping up and down beside her. She has a lovely smile on her face, and she's holding a big tray that has about 10 different pieces of candy on it. Michael and Aunt Estelle held out their bags. Then they ran down the front walk to Aunt Estelle's father. They are smiling and laughing as they run.
"You did it," he said.
"Queens are brave," said Aunt Estelle, "and pirates too."
And the two kids are holding up their wand and their sword, and they're jumping up and down and hugging the dad.
So weren't you even a little scared? Asked her father. Anne Estelle looked at Michael. Michael looked at Anne Estelle.
Oh, we were scared all right, Anne Estelle said. But you know, you have to be a little scared so you can be brave.
And they're eating their lollipops and chocolate bars.
The end.
Boo to You by Lois L. Lert. The cover of the book has a cat that's made out of paper, all different kinds of paper that are cut with a zigzaggy scissor. The nose is made out of a cherry. The mouth has teeth in it that are made out of pumpkin seeds. The whiskers are made out of little pieces of string tied together. That scary cat's back! Boy, what a bummer! The picture shows two little mice that are made out of different kinds of fabric that are pasted on the page. And they're looking out to see the tail of a cat. They're hiding in a pumpkin patch. Seeing that puss could spoil our summer. And now there's a bird also in the pumpkin patch, and the little mice are trying to hide in the vines. A raccoon or a squirrel might bite a veggie. And the little mice are running around still trying to hide. And you can see the tail of a raccoon with the black and white stripes on it. But a cat loves meat, and that makes us edgy. We still only see the cat's tail. And we see the little mice eating pumpkin seeds in the pumpkin patch. We're having a harvest party tonight. The mice are decorating the pumpkin patch. Now we can see the cat's nose sniffing around. Remember I told you the nose was made with a cherry on it? And the whiskers were made out of string? That's all we can see of the cat. Oh, now we see the whole picture of the cat. Guess who's the creep we didn't invite? Say the little mice. A pumpkin is made out of a big piece of fabric. He's got ears made out of corn cobs. And his nose is an old dried up apple. He's got whiskers that are made out of wheat. And he also has pumpkin seeds in his mouth. In the dark, these decorations sure look great. The two little mice are really proud of themselves. But we can't party yet. We have to wait. Now we see more pumpkins decorated. Here's one that's got a zucchini for a nose, and another one that has a turban squash as his hat. And one of them has hair that's made out of corn husks. Another has arms that are made out of broccoli. Here's some more pumpkins. One of them has pecans as teeth, and one of them has a big, long nose made out of corn that's red, and ears that are made out of potatoes. Then the house lights flick off. It's a spooky mood. Let's put on our masks and harvest some food. The little mice are gathering up all these veggies that they've seen, and they're walking off on the side of the page. It looks like there's a great big squirrel behind them, also gathering food.
Just as we're about to dine, that cat peeks out from behind a vine.
The other animals are all getting ready to eat vegetables, including the raccoon and the squirrel and the mice.
But we know exactly what to do. Boo to you,
they say to the cat. And the cat looks really scared.
The end.
Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.